This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? Well, then listen to What We Spend. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Plenty of time here. It's Tatum. Robinson's on him. Tatum maneuvering. Oh, the ball knocked away. Another great defensive play for the Knicks. They've got it. They've won it. New York has gone up 2-0. And defense again at the end.
Wow, wow, wow. We're going to talk Mets, but when you think of New York, pretty much the Knicks town right now.
Yeah.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. And we are delighted to welcome in Evan Roberts, afternoon drive at WFAN in New York. Works with Tiki Barber. And he joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Evan, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. My morning is terrible. Believe it or not, New York features many, many New York Knicks fans. They run this town. But there's a few of us, a few morons out there, that actually root for the Brooklyn Nets. And I'm one of those morons. And last night's Knicks victory took a part of my soul. So thank you for playing that clip. That really made my morning.
Well, it's inevitable because, okay, before we get to Cubs-Mets, the Knicks have done – they went into Boston. They won twice in a row. They deserve some credit. Jalen Brunson is the best, most clutch Knicks player since who?
Well, you know what's funny? Because I'm too young to remember Walt Clyde Frazier, I'll simply say he's the most clutch player the Knicks have ever had.
Wow.
No offense to Melo. No offense to Patrick. This guy has been ice veins incredible since he's walked through that door. It's stunning because when they signed him, it was a good signing. It was a solid signing. Like, yeah, Knicks need a point guard. They hadn't had a point guard in 25 years. And even the value on the contract seemed reasonable. But nobody in their right mind saw this coming. So Jalen Brunson turning into a legitimate superstar and the closer that he's become. And here's all you need to know. I thought about this going into last night's game. The Celtics are the defending NBA champions. All the respect to them. But my thought was, boy, if the Knicks just keep this close in the fourth quarter, they will win this game because of Jalen Brunson. So it is really remarkable. I don't want to rip Walt Clyde because I'm too young to have watched him.
Yep.
So I'll just say he's the most clutch player I've ever seen in Knicks history.
Well, you know, he's a Chicago guy made good. So there's that aspect. As long as he's from our town, I think we're on board with it. We're going to let you get away with saying that. We won't be upset. We don't care about anything but Chicago, frankly. And the Cubs are on the way. Are you ready for it? Are the Mets ready for it? There are two games ahead of them because the Cubs just lost two games. But they got a guy, a young fella named Pete Crow Armstrong, who's probably got a little bit of an issue with the Mets trading him.
Well, guess what? Mets fans have an issue with former management for trading Pete Crow Armstrong for the corpse of Javier Baez. But you know what? The reason we can't get too mad about that as Mets fans is the Mets had this period after Steve Cohen bought the team where they went through numerous general managers for a variety of reasons that I'm not going to bore you with. And at the trade deadline a couple of years ago, they made this trade for Javier Baez. And what's funny is Baez was great as a Met for the 2 months he was here, other than giving thumbs down to the fans. Like, he actually produced. But we kind of knew at the time, like, this was risky, giving up one of our top prospects. But it's tough to get nuts about it because, A, the Mets have a damn good team, and, B, it was like four general managers ago. So who are we mad at? The guy we're mad at isn't even working for the team anymore, but he's blossoming into a star. And I look forward to this series for this reason. The Mets have faced mostly a very soft schedule. And so, obviously, from afar, the Cubs are off to a hell of a start. They certainly look like the team to beat in the NL Central. So this is a little test for the Mets to actually face a little bit of a step up in competition.
24-14, first place in the NL East. Obviously, Pete Alonso's off to a good start. The pitching, I don't know how they're doing it. I don't know how they're winning these games given the staff that they went into the season with. But how would you describe the Juan Soto experience so far?
Juan Soto has not been bad by any stretch, but Juan Soto has not lived up to the expectations. And I know that's difficult when you're making $755 million. But he hit two home runs the other day, certainly a big effort in the Arizona game, but he hasn't gotten that big hit. He has not hit consistently with runners in scoring position. I think most Met fans are calm, mainly because we're off to a good start, and B, there's this confidence that Juan Soto is going to figure it out. But when you look at how the Mets have gotten here, you nailed it. You know, Pete Alonso has been an MVP kind of player, and their pitching has been far, far better than anyone could have expected. So the good news is, once Juan Soto becomes Juan Soto, that'll certainly help things out, especially if the pitching kind of comes back to our expectations and Pete cools off. So it hasn't been a bad start for Juan Soto, but he has not exactly lived up to the hype that he was given upon signing that monster contract.
What's it like, just generally speaking, to have an owner who is willing to spend any amount of money that he's not held up by funds? The guy paid $2.4 billion for the team, and he's more than happy to give away whatever contract needed. He's a fan as owner with the deepest pockets in MLB.
It's surreal because our former owners, the Wilpons, especially right. over the last decade of their ownership, stopped spending. The Mets became kind of a middle-of-the-market team, and we watched all these great free agents, and the Mets were never involved in any of them. In fact, they lost some of their own, like Jose Reyes and Zach Wheeler. So we went as Met fans, and remember, sharing a city with the Yankees, where the Yankees will go big pocket spending. They will go sign Gerrit Cole. They will go sign CC Sabathia. So we went through a decade, not that they were a small market team, but they didn't act like the big market team they should. So to go from that to this, like you said, an owner who's genuinely a Met fan, an owner who's not afraid to spend the big bucks, it really is still surreal. He's owned the team for almost 5 years now. And as a Met fan, we're still pinching ourselves that they and we have an owner that is as committed as he is. And signing Juan Soto, especially because we took him away from the Yankees. It wasn't just getting this great young generational player, which is cool enough. It was they took him from the Yankees after he led the Yankees to a freaking World Series berth. So I think the best way to describe these era is for most of us, it is still surreal that we have an owner this committed to winning.
Talking with Evan Roberts, the afternoon host at WFAN out in New York here on The Score. So, Evan, we've had fun this week, and we talk about the Cubs, and yeah, they're in first place, but we alternate days on what the biggest issues are, whether it's third base, starting pitching, or the bullpen, but all three of those things are prevalent problems for the Cubs. If you had to make a list, what's wrong with the Mets? What do people complain about when they're looking at the Mets, even though they're in first place, even though Alonso's doing everything and Soto's starting to hit? What are the biggest things that the Mets are concerned about?
I think for most Mets fans, and you guys will see it over the weekend, the top three guys in the order are tremendous. Francisco Lindor is not off to the cold start he's used to. He's off to another really – I mean, he's playing basically like the second half of last year, so he's been amazing. You mentioned Pete Alonso's playing like an MVP, and even though Soto hasn't lived up to the expectations, you look at his numbers, he's still fine. It's after that. It's the protection after the top three guys in the order. So Brandon Nimmo has taken a lot of heat for leaving small countries on base. He leads the league in leaving guys on base. Mark Vientos had a great year last year. He has not backed that up to start off this year. They haven't gotten a lot of production out of the DH spot. So it's really – it's about the lineup, and I think a big part of that is the expectation coming into the season was the Mets are going to match. They're going to have one of the best lineups in baseball, and statistically, it hasn't worked out that way. So I think the biggest issue most Mets fans have had is just from the production after the top three, the starting pitching staff is like, it doesn't even make any sense. I mean, when you look at this rotation, it shouldn't be this good, and yet Griffin Canning, of all people, goes out and pitches five innings, one run, basically every 5 days. So I think Mets fans are thrilled with the starting staff. The bullpen has mostly been good. It's really the lineup after the big three. And, you know, I'm hopeful that these guys are going to turn around. Brandon Nimmo is not a 217 hitter. Mark Vientos, I think, will be closer to what he did last year than what he's done this season. So hopefully this stuff can turn internally. But I would say for most Mets fans, that's the biggest issue, whining about the lineup after the top three guys.
You know, obviously, when it comes to Cub fans, the hated Mets, you know, for every – great season a team has, there's a team that's left wanting. And the Cubs in 69, all that stuff, the meltdown, what could have been has bothered people forever. And the Miracle Mets left the Cubs in their wake. So there's always going to be that tension from the Chicago standpoint. How are the Cubs perceived by Mets fans?
Believe it or not, we mostly like you. Now, I think generationally, like the older Met fan, like my dad, they don't like the Cubs because of the rivalry, especially from 1969. Even though the Mets got the last laugh, it was still a genuine rivalry. I think for me, like I'm 41 years old, so I barely remember the Cubs being in the Mets division. One of my first memories, though, is Tuffy Rhodes taking Doc Gooden.
opening day, 94.
Yeah. Never forget that, but I think for the most part, we actually don't hate you as much as many other teams. Like the St. Louis Cardinals, we still hate. The L.A. Dodgers, obviously, America hates. Everybody in our division, we can't stand. So we played you in 2015, but you know, luckily we took care of you very easily, so there's no hatred there. So there's nothing. We kind of like you guys. We kind of respect you. And now that you got that championship out of the way, like when you were cursed, this is me personally, I can't speak for every Met fan, I did not want to see you win a World Series. And I know that sounds weird because I just would have been jealous. Like, man, I haven't seen a World Series in my lifetime. I'm too young to remember 86. I don't want these guys seeing a championship. They've waited over 100 years. Well, you know, you should wait longer than I have to. But now that you got the title, I'm all good with you until we meet in the postseason. And then, of course, you'll become a mortal enemy again.
I've only got a minute left, but before we let you go, Monday is the NBA draft lottery, and your beloved Brooklyn Nets have a 9% chance of getting the number one overall pick. The Bulls have a 1.7% chance of getting the number one overall pick. How much anticipation do you have for the NBA draft lottery?
I am sick to my stomach. That's the anticipation I have. I have a stomach ache. Keep this in mind, and I don't think anybody cares, but I'll tell you, it's a little factoid. The Brooklyn Nets haven't had a lottery pick since they played in New Jersey. It's a combination of making the playoffs, but it's a combination of trading every freaking draft pick known to man to either Boston or to Houston. So the fact that they're in the lottery is a very surreal moment, but it feels like it's our big opportunity. They were supposed to be the worst team in the league this year. They overachieved. They won more games than they should have, which is why their odds are where you said. I am going to probably drink heavily before this because I'm that nervous and I'm not a drinker. It's not like that's what I do. So as a Net fan, I dread Monday. I am praying to the basketball gods if they will actually listen. You're putting me through a freaking Knicks run, which is torturous. Can you at least throw me the bone of Cooper Flagg, please? So, yeah, I'm pretty nervous for Monday.
Great stuff. Evan, thanks a ton. Great catching up with you. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Evan.
Thank you. Should be a fun weekend. Thanks for having me on.